Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another satiating episode from high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. We begin this morning with an outrage, a crime wave in a small Wyoming town. In each Wyoming community, their local paper publishes the police blotter. In the case of Buffalo, Wyoming, it's entitled The Rolling Log. Tongue-in-cheek, of course, but in this case, it's serious, my friends. At 3:01 p.m. on July 15th, a citizen called the Johnson County Criminal Justice Center and reported two chickens crossing the road. On Fort Street, no less. I mean, don't they know that there's a stoplight right there, for God's sake? It's bad enough if one chicken is crossing the road, but in this case, there are two. Officers were immediately dispatched to find out exactly why this outrage was occurring. As you might have surmised, officers were unable to determine why the chickens were crossing the road. The question I have, my friends, is what's next? Deer eating the apples off my apple tree? An invasion of private property rights? In any case, I'll stay on top of this story and let you know its conclusion. Well, no kidding, my friends. That actually showed up in the Rolling Log this past week. You know, David Letterman used to read the Rolling Log on his show, not every night, but every once in a while. Let's divert our attention from the foul to the foul-smelling politicians. To the Red Star! Not that you need any more evidence that the Wyoming mainstream media is totally in the tank for Crickets Cheney. An article published late last night is entitled, Cheney Draws More Support from Women and Newer Wyoming Residents, poll finds, written by Victoria Evis on July 26th. Does anybody else find that curious? If it's actually true that women and newer Wyoming residents support Cheney over and above Harriet Hageman, well, that would be a blockbuster poll, wouldn't it? And we would expect that the Pravda on the Platte would splatter that thing all across the front page above the fold in huge 3-inch letters. But they didn't. Why? Because that's not what the poll says at all. And the Casper Star Tribune should know that because it's their poll. Yeah. It's the one that says that Harriet Hageman is at least 22 points ahead of Crickets Cheney. I'll tell you all about it here in just a second. But first, some totally egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There, you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Crickets Cheney and you believe this bullcrap that's coming out of the Casper Star Tribune, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and find out that you'd be better off just saving your money and dropping out now. This segment of the program is brought to you by 307 Cowboy Country. They are Central and Southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. They offer the best in backyard sheds and greenhouses and even a garage. So if you need some place to stash all of your summertime yard tools, then give my friends Bryce and Melody Reese a call at 307-441-1815. Montana Shed Center, buildings for life.
I observe them grow state government, spend money like drunken sailors, avoid passing pro-life legislation, and not care about what their constituents want.
Alan Slagle is running for House District 2. He's a principled conservative, a rancher, and a family man.
We should be willing as a state to call him out and say, this isn't constitutional.
And he will. Vote Alan Slagle for House District 2 on August 16th. Now, I read you the title of this dumb article written by Victoria Evis. Here's the first paragraph. Ahem, ahem. Women are more likely to support Representative Liz Cheney than men, but her Donald Trump-endorsed challenger, Harriet Hageman, still leads among both groups, a Casper Star Tribune poll finds. Hey, Victoria, have you been hanging out in the cow pie? I thought they were the only ones that printed misleading headlines and then corrected themselves in their article. The next two paragraphs are equally as entertaining. Quote, The Congresswoman also performs better among newer residents of Wyoming and slightly better among young people. Cheney's approval rating among women is roughly 10 points higher than it is among men, according to the Star Tribune poll released earlier this month. Period. And here comes the part where she actually tells the truth about what the poll said. Here we go. On the flip side, 6 in 10 women disapprove of the Congresswoman, compared to 72% of the men. The results were similar when respondents were asked who they'd vote for if the primary were held today, with 57% of men saying they'd vote for Hageman and 47% for women. Now, we all know how accurate polling has been in the last few election cycles. But if the Red Star is predicting such a thumping that Harriet Hageman is about to give to Crickets Cheney, my guess is the results are going to be far, far worse for old Crickets. So actually, there's two big stories here. First, the Virginia-owned Casper Star Tribune, the Pravda on the Platte, can't print an honest headline to save their souls. And secondly, their own poll is predicting a landslide for Harriet Hageman. Now, we have to give them a little bit of leeway. I mean, after all, there are a whole bunch of committed leftists that work down at that former liquor store in Casper. But the Casper Star Tribune, just like the Cow Pie, knows that most people just read the headline and they don't read the entire article. So they can print something that's misleading and then bury the truth somewhere down in the paragraphs below. And hopefully they'll mislead people into believing something that's just not true. And they wonder why their circulation continues to fall. Enough of this crap. One of the more important races this cycle is that of House District 20 down in Sublette County. That's where you can find the majority floor leader, Albert Sommers. The only thing Sublette County citizens are more tired of than his overcoat that he never changes and never cleans is his voting record. I'm not kidding about either one of those. The guy running against him is Mike Schmidt. Mike's a family man. He's been in business almost his entire life, and he's sick and tired of Albert Sommers' voting record. We had a great discussion about a number of different topics. Here it is. Joining me via Zoom is Mike Schmidt. Mike is running for the House of Representatives in Wyoming House District 20. You might remember that one because it's the district of the House Majority Floor Leader, Albert Sommers. So, Mike, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you for having me today.
Ah, you're welcome. Since this is the first time you've been on the program, why don't you just take a few minutes and tell us about yourself?
All right. Well, I'm very familiar with House District 20. The majority of it is Sublette County, Wyoming. I was raised in the small cow town of Daniel, Wyoming, population 110. Elevation is nearly 7,200 feet. Graduated from high school in Pinedale, Wyoming, 1976. That was in May of 1976. June of 1976, my father broke my dinner plate and said it's time to go to work. So I headed to the oil fields south of Pinedale near LaBarge, Wyoming. Worked there for various oil field companies, a brother that had an oil field service company. And in the early 1980s, I was married and my wife and I decided to venture out on our own and start a business of our own. That was in 1984. And we've been running that business ever since. But yeah, it's so I've got a lot of experience in business ventures. I understand money. I understand how to manage it. I understand how to manage time, and I understand how to manage people. And I jokingly say at times that, especially with my kids when they were growing up, that at the end of all of this, and 30 some years later, I really come out of this with a psychology degree. It's taught me a lot.
So it sounds like you're
learned a lot.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, David.
No, go right ahead and finish. I thought you were done.
And during that time, you know, what I learned most of all, I felt was most valuable in my business career is that I've employed hundreds of people over those nearly 40 years, And what I found is if a guy is willing to listen to the people that are closest to the ground, closest to the problem, they can identify them very quickly, very easily, and many, many times they even have solutions. So that's been a real secret to our success with our business.
Well, it sounds like you're a pretty busy guy, Mike. Why in the devil do you want to go to Cheyenne?
Well, you know, I am busy. I like staying busy. I've been that way my entire life. I'm not afraid to burn the midnight oil. But the reason I want to go is, you know, there's a lot of things. There's the, you know, Wyoming is my home. I love the place. They'll bury me here. I've got 10 grandkids.
Wow.
I'd like to have, I've got 3 daughters and 10 grandkids. I'd like to them for them to experience some of the Wyoming that I was grown, that I grew up with. And I just feel like that's slipping away from us. I manage my business to the point where I've got some good managers in place. It doesn't require a lot of my time. I visit with them once a week on a conference call, and we plan and strategize. But I've got the time. I'm still healthy. I've got the desire. And when I started looking into my new representative's voting record, I was totally appalled. And I decided it was time for me to do something. Rather than talk about it, I was going to try to do something. And over the last couple of years, I've had people ask me to maybe jump in the ring here and run for this office or that office. And I've thought about it for a while. But like I say, once I started looking into my opponent's voting record, it just cinched it up for me. And I decided to jump in now. Now is the time. Waited long enough. We can't wait any longer. We need good people to get to Cheyenne and try to turn this thing around, because I really believe we're losing the Wyoming that I believe the majority of this state really loves and cares for.
Well, you know, I think that you put it the best way possible, is that when you started digging into Albert Somers's voting record, it became clear to you that we got to do something. And it's not just specific to him. I mean, it holds true for the entire state. You know, I say all the time that, you know, one of the reasons we live in Wyoming is we want to be left alone. Well, we have this bad habit of leaving our politicians alone, and we don't check up on them on what they're doing in Cheyenne. And a lot of times they're not working for our best interests. So, Mike, if you could for me, why don't you pick like the top 2 or the top 3 things that stuck out to you, that are sticking out to you in this race that you really want to run on?
Well, you know, I agree with you, David. I mean, we've got 90 legislators down there, 30 senators and 60 representatives. 79 of them are Republicans. 9 of them are Democrats. We've got 1 independent and 1 libertarian. 79 Republicans, and we can't get a bill passed to stop crossover voting.
Nope.
We can't get a bill passed to keep biological boys out of girls' sports. We can't get a bill passed to help our seniors with the increasingly unbearable costs of property tax increases. You know, bills to protect our religious freedoms aren't getting passed. And, you know, it just appalls me. 79 Republicans. I mean, that tells the whole story to me. And so I think in a nutshell for me, those number one is we've got to get our state turned around. We need more solid conservatives in our state legislature. I am one of those solid conservatives. I tell people when they ask me what kind of a conservative I am, I said, well, if you look at a gas gauge in your vehicle, I'm about 3/4 of a tank or a little bit more to the rack.
Okay.
And I think that's what we need. Most of our folks are left of center, in my opinion, and you can look at their voting record and see why. So that's one big reason that I'm running is I need to get in there. This state's been good to me and my family. I need to get in there and help the group of people, the solid conservatives that are there to help turn the state around.
Okay, well, you're a businessman, so let's talk a little business here. Wyoming does not have a revenue problem. We've got a big spending problem, and the biggest place that we spend money is on education. Now, I've spoken with one of the conservatives in the House of Representatives, and he flat said that if we don't get a handle on our education spending, pretty soon we're not going to be able to. So in your estimation, what can be done to get a handle on our education spending in the state? And we'll hear Mike's answer after the break. We'll get back to our interview in just a second, but first, a completely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. It's summertime, which also means that it's construction season. And if you've been thinking about a building to put on your property, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. It doesn't really matter what type of structure you've been thinking about, whether it be a barn or a roping arena or a giant warehouse or just some sort of building to stash all of your toys in, well, then you should contact Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than just about everybody else around, and they do it better than anybody else around. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to find with any of their competitors. So it doesn't matter what type of structure you need, give Nick and Jesse a call, 307-674-2532, and they'll handle all their details, or you can check them out on the website at mortonbuildings.com. Right now is the highest we've ever seen gun markets, and the best performers are the vintage collectible firearms, Winchesters, Colts, and rare military weapons. Over in Cody, Gunrunner Auctions is one of the leading online auction houses in the country, and they're celebrating their 23rd year. Gunrunner Auctions is unique in that their specialty is estate firearms. They get calls all week long about lifelong gun collections coming to auction. Scott Weber, the owner, has been into firearms for almost 60 years. He'll travel to the estate and first appraises the firearms for the heirs and then takes them to his Cody auction facility where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum to learn more about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his crew post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of them start at $20 with no reserve. Gunrunner Auctions only charges 15% for selling your firearms. They've sold the personal collections of Elvis Presley, Steve McQueen, Alex McCord, Herb Parsons, to name a few. With their 40,000 bidders in all 50 states, they'll realize the highest prices for your precious firearms. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. August 4th in Buffalo, Wyoming, the Patriot Conservatives of Wyoming will host the Bighorn Mountains Debates, starting at 5:30 at the Bomber Mountain Civic Center. So far, the attendees are Brent Biehn, Rex Rammel, and James Scott Quick. Governor Mark Gordon has declined to attend, but, you know, some of these things, people change their minds after they realize everything that's going on. It's going to be a special event. The Turning Point USA chapter of Buffalo High School is going to moderate the debate. We'll have the governor's debate, and then shortly thereafter, we'll have a Buffalo City Council debate, or forum, or something of the kind. So that's August 4th at 5:30 p.m. at the Bomber Mountain Civic Center in Buffalo. And now, back to the program. Where we left off was a question about education funding, and here's Mike Schmidt's response.
I think right now, Wyoming, the last number I saw or read was we spend about $18,000 per student on education in the state of Wyoming. I believe the only state ahead of us is New York State. I mean, that's three and a half times more than what we used to spend back in 1995, but yet our education the increase in the results of our education when it comes to the three main parts of our education system, reading, writing, and arithmetic, has only increased about 1%. So it's obvious that the increased spending isn't getting to where it needs to go. It's not getting to the students. It's not getting to the curriculum. It's not getting to the parents that need the information to help us with educating their kids. So I think what we need to do is there's obviously plenty of money in our education system for a small state like Wyoming. We just need to get inside of that and start looking really close at where that money's going. And I think a lot of it is on the top end. You know, I read a national statistic here not too long ago that nationwide, the administrative population nationwide in our public schools raised about 300%, increased about 300%. Student population only increased about 8%. And I think that's some of what we're experiencing in Wyoming. I think there's ways that we can look at those top end administrative costs and see if there's some way that we can save some money there. I think some of these travel vouchers for these kids, you know, taking them all over the state for these athletic events that we have, you know, Wyoming's a big state, costs a lot of money to travel, especially these days, but I think there's ways there that we can tighten up and save some money as well. There's plenty of cash there. We know we have to do something. There's legislators out there that have told me that if we don't get it under control, this could bankrupt the state of Wyoming as our education costs. And we just keep adding more and more. We take every federal dollar we can. And I just don't see it getting to the students like it should.
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, over the last 15 or so years, and this is a shocking statistic to me, that the actual enrollment in Wyoming schools, and we're talking about, you know, over a 15-year period, has actually gone down about 1,900 students. But during that same time period, administration and staff has gone up about 3,600 positions. I mean, you got one classic example is over in Gillette. They've got one of their high schools. They have four principals. Four. You know, whereas the other high school, they just have one for the entire school. You know, we're bloated with administration. It's almost like I heard a comment on TV the other day that our education system really is not about educating. It's more about a jobs program. And it's just amazing how much money we throw at our school system. And, you know, you brought up a really good point that for the Cadillac school system we're paying for, we're certainly not getting Cadillac results.
I know I jokingly say at times, but maybe with a little seriousness involved, that, you know, for if we're spending $18,000 a year per student, for another couple thousand dollars, we could send them to the University of Wyoming and pay for their room and board.
Oh, yeah. You know, without a doubt. So let's switch gears a little bit. We'll talk about my favorite subject, things that go boom. On the Second Amendment, what, in your estimation, needs to be done to strengthen our Second Amendment rights?
Well, you know, they just, I think it was, gosh, I can't remember the bill number.
Senate File 102 is probably the one you're thinking of.
There you go. That's the one I was after. You know, that just come about and just passed. And it's a, you know, it's an attempt. That's what I'll call it, is an attempt to help us. But in my opinion, it has no teeth at all. Until we get to the point where we stop accepting federal funds and leave, I mean, in that bill alone, let me back up here a little bit. In that bill alone, under subsection B, it states very clearly that nothing in this act shall be construed to prohibit Wyoming governmental entities from accepting federal funds for law enforcement purposes. I just truly believe, and I see this across everything we do in Cheyenne, that as long as we continue to accept federal funds for any of our activities, we will never truly control anything we do or manage our own state or our own people. This just leaves the door open for the federal government to come in and get involved in our gun laws and even really make this Senate File 102 useless, toothless.
Well, if I could give you a little pushback on that one. So the sentence directly before the one that you read, it says, unless otherwise, I think I'd have to pull it off the wall, but unless otherwise mentioned in sub in subsection A, and subsection A is the one that talks about all of the unconstitutional acts that could happen. And then secondly, well, a year in jail, that's a pretty good deterrent if you ask me. You know, so I would agree on part of the way with you that it's not a perfect bill, but it does provide a criminal penalty. And, you know, there's certainly things that we could do to strengthen it. So I guess my question, to put it more specifically, is what would you add to it to strengthen our Second Amendment rights?
Well, I would agree with you that it's a start. You know, it's a start. And to me, that's all it is. But I think to strengthen it, David, for me, it comes back to accepting those federal dollars. I think we've got to get the federal dollars out of this bill.
Okay.
I think as long as we accept federal dollars, they're going to have a way to work their way into our Second Amendment rights here in Wyoming.
Well, and that's, you bring up a good point, is that we take all of this federal money, and it's not just in any one department. I mean, it goes across the whole board, you know, education, law enforcement, state money for roads, and we just suck up every federal dollar we can, and we don't realize that with every federal dollar comes another federal string.
Right.
Like I say, I couldn't agree with you more. So another question I have for you, and this is kind of one directed at your opponent, is he seems to be a fan of state bureaucracy. Like any way that guy can spend money doing it, he'll vote for it. So what, in your estimation, should we do with our huge state bureaucracy? I mean, we got more state employees than pretty much per capita than just about any other state. So how would you attack that?
Well, I think, and you're right, I think we rate number 50. I read a statistic here recently. We rate number 50 of government employees per 10,000 people. You know, one of the things that I think we could really look at is and we've got it in our federal government as well, is that fourth branch of our government. All of these unelected appointed officials that run all of these departments within the state of Wyoming. They're appointed by their cronies, their buddies, their pals. They're given big budgets. They burn up those budgets, and it seems like every time they turn around, they're just asking for more money. And then we've got a slew of legislators down there that seem to think, like my opponent, that just continues to send it to them without any results. I mean, if you acted that way in private business, you'd be gone.
Yeah, you'd be broke in 6 months.
That's right. And we just can't keep going back to the well, and the well being the citizen of Wyoming. In my business, when things get tough, I go to the well when I can, and the well in my arena is my customers in the bank. And when they tell me enough's enough, I got to figure out a way to survive. And that's what we need to do within our state of Wyoming. We have to be more responsible with the money that the taxpayers give us. And I think one place to start is to get these unelected appointed bureaucrats under control, and maybe start putting some of those into an elected position where the people are actually choosing them.
I think you're exactly right on that. You know, I was talking with a former legislator yesterday, and he was telling me that there are some supervisory positions in state government where the people only supervise one person. And it's not just one or two cases. That's like across the entire state government. And, you know, we've got duplicative services. We've got supervisors that aren't supervising anything. And I honestly think it goes back to us not auditing anything in the state for, you know, at least 10 years, probably a lot longer. What would you say is the best way to fix this property tax situation that we're all in?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've kicked around in my mind is I really think we need to go back to a situation where your property taxes are based on what you paid for that piece of property, whether it's 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. That's the base that you use to pay your property taxes year after year. It does not matter what your neighbor sells his property for in a peak market like we have recently here in Wyoming. That should not affect the neighbor. And then I'd like to see a little bit added to that maybe take that, you know, if you pay $100,000 for a property and you've got 1,000 or 10,000 square feet of buildings on that you're using, you know, you've got a per square foot unit price that is the base of your usable buildings. And if you add a building to that or you decrease a building, your property taxes can adjust accordingly. I mean, that way the property owner can budget. He knows from year to year what his taxes are going to be. If he decides to build, he can calculate what his property taxes are going to be to work into his budget. If he takes a building off, he knows what his decrease is going to be. The state knows. It's a simple mechanism. And I know that's simplistic and it's going to need some work. But I think it's a way for the getting back to where the citizen of Wyoming has a clear, easy way to manage his money and his property taxes. The state is, you know, they will still get their monies when that property is sold. Those taxes will go up. There has to be a simple way. And I think this is one of the ideas, like I say, we'll need some work, but one of the ideas to help the citizens of Wyoming, they need something simple. I read all this stuff about what we're going to do with property taxes, you know, but processes to maybe get rebates and this and that. And I hate to say this, but sometimes I think that's intentional.
Absolutely it is.
And they make it so difficult that people just throw their hands in the air and say to heck with it. And then they continue to get their raises. So if we're going to represent the people of this state, we have to remember what it was like when we were there. And we are there. We're still there. This affects us too. We have to work to think about what it's going to do to the man and woman out there that's busting their butts every day to pay their mortgage, to raise their kids, to try to save for retirement, get their kids in school. We got to start remembering that's what we're there for. That's who's important. We just need to find simple ways to help them. And they're out there. They are out there. We've just got to keep that in the top of our thinking.
So let's talk about some social issues. You know, you mentioned that you got 10 grandkids. So there was several bills in this past legislative session, all of which failed, that really would have, that directly related to what we're teaching our students in the state. You know, when we had critical race theory, there was Senate File 51. That was the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. There were several bills that were kind of all centered around, you know, those topics. So talk to me a little bit about what we should be teaching our kids in Wyoming schools.
Well, I think for the biggest part, we really have to go back to what schools were all about. And this has been a long time ago, but we really need to get back to teaching kids how to think. Not what to think, but how to think. We need to stop promoting all of these social warrior emotional ideas upon the public or through the public schools to our kids. We need to get back to the basics, teach these kids how to think, teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, where when they step out into the public arena, they've got something to work on. They know how to think. They know how to approach a problem. They know how to stay with the problem. That's the biggest thing I see, is that we've lost the ability to teach kids how to think, and we're teaching them what to think. And this whole social issue that's going on is part of that.
Well, and I was shocked, Mike, at our inability to pass the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. You know, it just blew my mind that was something that we just couldn't get done. And, you know, the guy you're running against, Albert Sommers, I mean, not only is he the majority floor leader, so technically that bill was in his drawer, but then he voted against even debating it on the floor.
Well, again, it goes back to what I said earlier, David. 79 out of 90 legislators are Republicans, and we can't get a good family values bill even debated on the floor. But it should have been. It should have been given that opportunity, hands down, with that kind of a legislature. I don't understand it. That's one of the 16, family values is one of the 16 planks of the Wyoming State Republican Party platform that came from the grassroots. That's how those were developed. Those were developed by the people. These legislators are there to represent the people. That should have been a bill that cruised through the legislature, and it never even got a chance. My opponent's been in the legislature 10 years. He's been in a leadership position 6 out of those 10, and he's up for 2 more if he wins this election. And we can't get a bill that goes against America or family values, part of the Wyoming State Republican Party platform, even on the floor for debate. That's sad. That's not Wyoming.
So define for me, if you could, what does it mean to be a conservative?
Well, it's real simple for me. I mean, it goes back to the kind of the three basic things of conservatism: limited government, self-reliability, and low taxes. And that's worked. I mean, that's worked in this nation, that's worked in this state. And what's happening in Cheyenne is we're doing everything we can to destroy those three basic values of being a conservative.
Well, the guy that you're running against, Albert Sommers, you know, he is not very vocal when it comes to the Republican Party platform, but he is part of the club that, you know, they don't really follow the platform. I mean, and in any way, really. So it'd be nice to have somebody in there that is actually a conservative and is actually interested in, you know, Wyoming values and Wyoming family. So I really appreciate you stepping up against Representative Sommers.
Appreciate that, David. And like I say, we just need to get those conservative values restored. I mean, I like to use the saying that I'm a conservative by choice, not by chance. And I'm ready to go to Cheyenne and help restore the conservative values that this state was built on. I mean, that's where we got where we are, and we can't lose those. And I believe that's happening, and we need to get some folks in there to help stop it and turn it around.
I agree. So
I'm ready.
So if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
We've got a Facebook page, Mike Schmid for Wyoming House District 20. That's fairly active. They can reach me on my cell phone, 307-389-7336. I'd love to talk to anybody. I'll drive out, visit with you, shake your hand, get to know you. You can get to know me on a more personal basis. I love doing that. I love talking to people. And then we've also got a website, Mike Schmid for housedistrict20.com.
You might want to spell your last name for everybody too, because it's sort of an unusual spelling.
It is. It is S-C-H-M-I-D, as in David. No T on this one.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me on the program, and you're welcome here anytime you like. Just drop me a line, and we can talk about anything that's going on. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we may have missed?
I don't really think so, David. I'm just anxious to get back out this afternoon and back on the campaign trail. The phone's been blowing up here while we've been talking, so I've got a few errands to run and a few people to see. So I'm anxious to get back out there and shake some more hands and kind of win some votes so we can replace Albert Sommers as our potential speaker next year.
Good luck in your race, Mike. Like I said, you're welcome back here anytime you like. That'll about do it for this installment. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.